I won't be around the bush. You've read the title and you know that we're going to be talking about the current attack on children. Satan wants to have control over their thoughts and what they believe. The younger a child is, the more likely they are to believe what they've been told, even when it's been false. There's a naivety among children that is used against them. Young children are in learning mode, as their brains stretch and expand, creating new connections and memories within their minds. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." God revealed to Solomon that these early teachings will stay with them for the rest of their lives, and it is something that even their enemy Satan knows. If you can get a child when they are young, you will most likely be able to keep them when they are old, because of how you train them. Training comes in many different forms. The basic definition of training could be to gain knowledge of something, or to gain deeper knowledge and understanding of something. Knowledge is gained through what information we consume and choose to keep. For instance, I took several courses growing up, and not all of them have stayed with me. I know the basics of many subjects, but the details have faded over time. The only ones that remain are those that I've practiced, the things that I've kept up, that I've kept on and alive in my mind through active use. One method of learning that was and still is used is repetition, because it is our only way to remember things. Our memory is based on the pathway in our mind through the nerve connection that exists. We learn so much faster when we are younger because our brain is busy constantly expanding, telling everything to stretch and grow. But as we get older, those nerves will begin to expand at a lower rate and learning becomes something more difficult to do. Not only is learning harder, but unlearning is also harder to accomplish. Satan's plan to destroy the biblical family has many factors and methods, but I'm going to focus primarily on those that are coming after our children. The first step in the process is exposing children to the ideas of the LGBT plus and the concept of sex at an early age. This is being done through the media, being consumed, and through schools. Many children's shows are hard for parents and adults to sit through. My gut is telling me that this is by design, so that parents and adults don't watch them. Because of this, the messages are being smuggled into the content in either subtle or not subtle ways. I've seen both when I watch shows, and I'm tired of it. The two shows that I've abandoned my loyalty to are the series Miraculous Ladybug and The Dragon Prince. Both of these shows have gone that route, and I want nothing to do with them. These shows are on Netflix and are rated by 7, meaning that they are considered fine for 7-year-olds. The rating system is primarily based on the following factors: the type of violence involved, if there is any foul language, sexual content, or scary and frightening images. This rating system obviously doesn't take into account the type of relationships or lifestyles promoted in the series. But the worst part of why it's being done, I would have to say, is the existence of Drag Queen Story Hour and California's attempt at being a sanctuary state for transgendered minors. These story hours are often being held at public libraries for kids as young as 4 years old. I'm saddened by things like these, like the story hours and the public pride parades. But what infuriates me are the things like California's actions, because children and teenagers don't truly understand themselves, and when they start wanting to remove healthy parts of their bodies because they don't feel like it fits with them, it becomes abuse to remove them. Doctors won't allow people who believe they are actually amputees to get their arms or legs removed, because that violates the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm in their actions. But to remove healthy primary reproductive organs in the case of men and secondary ones in the case of women who have their breasts removed is considered to be compassionate. This is a sign that they are abandoning objective truth in droves. And this brings us back to academia, where there are teachers who openly endorse the LGBT plus lifestyle and encourage their students to keep things hidden from their parents. This removal of parents from a child's life as their main influence is paramount to Satan's plan in securing his place as ruler of the world. We know that he will be unable to keep the world, but he wants to take as many as he can with him to hell. If he can get the children that come from many generations of godly men and women to turn away and fully embrace the life of the world, then he can secure rulership over the world. This is why there is such a repetition of the narratives about what a family is and how there is more than one gender and all the other things that are being pushed forth. We know that Satan is coming for the children of the Christians to turn away from God in a form of power play, one that says, I'm going to kill you and with your children, pulling the trigger, smiling. You may think that's a bit dark. Yes, it is. But that does a lot to a person's motivation. To find out that you have been betrayed by the children you raised. Now here's my question. Did you raise those children, or did you give them to someone else to be raised? I ask that question because it is important to know the child is raised by what they take in, to what they were exposed to by the instruction they received. Parents have the authority to properly raise up their child. That includes the environment they are in. In researching things for today, I find it interesting that the mandate that kids be in school was right around the 1920s. Remember, nothing happens in a vacuum. In the 1920s was the Azusa Street revivals where the Holy Spirit poured out and empowered the church in a way that paralleled Acts chapter 2. It would take a while for the laws to exist all across the United States, demanding children be put into school, and I'm willing to declare that Satan put this in motion for the purpose of being able to corrupt the children at some point in the future. If you couldn't get it done now, it would set things up for a more beneficial time. Remember, Satan is a fallen angel, which means he has existed for millennia, and knows how to play the long game with us humans. He has studied us and is continuing to study us as a species. We now find ourselves roughly 100 years after that time, and the power the state has over our children's education has been truly revealed. The state has oversight over how children are raised, are making it harder to homeschool children, or even send them off to a non-state-funded school. A few years ago, the Maryland Boost Program for Children in Lesser Fortunate Households ejected Bethel Christian Academy from the program and tried to make them pay back 2 full years worth of scholarship funds, citing their religious beliefs about marriage between being one man and one woman to be discriminatory. Bethel Christian Academy was the only Christian school to be given this order, but they were the only ones to file suit against the state of Maryland. Their lawsuit was picked up by the Alliance Defending Freedom, a nonprofit law group. And after a little while of constant back and forth, they eventually won the case and weren't forced to pay back the money. I tell you all this story because this is one of the ways we fight back. There are legal options available to us to use, but we never think of them. One other way to fight back is found in Florida, where the Parental Rights and Education Act makes it legal for teachers to bring up the topic of sex, sexual orientation, or anything of that nature around children in third grade or below. I, along with many others that I know in my life, think that this law is too lenient. Many of us think that these subjects shouldn't even be mentioned in elementary school. But I digress. Our other option is to use our influence at school board meetings where members of the community can bring up subjects of issue and concern. We have a voice, but we must not forget the importance of it. This battle is won in the spirit, and that means we need to use our spiritual weapons to change the course of the fight. Spiritual warfare is about where you have your allegiance. Is it to God or yourself? And all this takes place with your mind, which is why words are so impactful. Twitter banned the word groomer because as people were being exposed to what they were, the word spread, and as people understood the definition, they were quick to identify other behaviors in people. In much the same way, the phrase, okay, boomer, became an internet sensation. An okay groomer mentality had formed, calling the enemies of the Florida bill groomers, and I believe that there was truth to what was happening to warrant the word getting banned. Ironically, this only proves that people were saying it was true, or at the very least had some truth in it. I want to finish today by encouraging everyone who is in a leadership role as a pastor to be less afraid of calling out evil. Your job as a pastor is to feed the sheep and make sure the wolves don't get close. When the lions and bears come after you, you need to go after them and kill them, metaphorically speaking, of course. Part of this includes making sure that your congregation is fully aware of what is happening as it relates to your situation. Don't water down the word of God, make it easier to handle. Let it have the full impact on people that God wants it to have. Isaiah tells us the words of the Lord don't return void, but in order for that to happen, you need to speak it without changing it. You may be afraid of division. I remind you that Jesus himself said that he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to separate those who would follow him and those who would not. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church reminding them that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In this case, he was referring to unconfronted sin in the congregation. If you feel uncomfortable speaking the truth about a subject because you know it will make someone unhappy, that is exactly what you need to speak because it will enable them to be set free from it. Intimidation is a spiritual weapon that Satan has used to great effect in the church, as many with great influence are more willing to keep silent on the sins the society is enamoring and making praiseworthy. As you think about this, remember that God is not afraid of replacing people. He replaced Eli and his sons with Samuel. He replaced Saul with David. Paul was not reprimanded for rebuking Peter after he backslid into old Jewish customs of not associating with Gentiles. God has rebuked and replaced the great heroes of the past who stumbled and didn't do as they were supposed to do. So why would he treat you any different? My final word to you today is to take courage in what Jesus says to his disciples in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Until next time, courage and Godspeed.